Thank you for your promise, Lord, that you will work all things together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. All things together for good. All things together for good to those who love the Lord, Romans 8:28, and are called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord, that even those things that are difficult to understand, you are beyond my understanding. You are bigger than that. For your heart is good, your heart is kind, and you care. And we know, Lord, that you're with us. You're for us. You're not against us. Thank you for working all these things in our lives. Thank you for the good times and thank you for the difficult times. Can you thank God for the difficult times? Knowing that all these things are part of the prescription for your life. You know, sometimes God gives us just a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down. Because the medicine is sometimes bitter, you know. Just a spoon? No. Started to break out in a dance there. But isn't that the way it is, that there's bitterness sometimes in our lives and in the offering and the things that we experience? But there's also the honey, there's the sweetness. But all of these ingredients, all of these things are working together to create that uniqueness that is you in Christ, that anointing that is specific to you. As you express the Lord, and even through the brokenness of your life, God will work to release his spirit out of you to touch others. So understand that God does work all these things together, the good, the bad, the otherwise, you know, for good. God wants to restore strength to his people, to his church. He doesn't want us to be limp-wrist Christians. He doesn't want us to be weaklings spiritually. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to empower and to embolden, to give us grace and strength, ability. And before we can receive those things, we have to first become positioned to receive. We have to be in position to receive from God. And if we are proud, self-serving, self-centered, self-sufficient, self-esteeming, then we're not in the position to receive the grace that we need to do the will of God. And so Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, utterly disown. Seems like we've heard that verse somewhere recently. Maybe here, right? Repeatedly, over and over. Because if we don't get this part right, folks, there's no point. Unless we come to the place where we're done with our agenda, we're laying it down at the altar and saying, God, it's up to you now. My life is no longer my own. I am your property. And you know, folks, there is a process to get us there. And God is still working, isn't he? Because we still have that other part of us that wants to do its own thing. That other part of us that wants to be recognized, that wants to be made important, that has to be seen. The look at me part, you know, look at me, look at me. How come nobody saw me or noticed me? You know, sometimes God is allowing those very scenarios to take place in your life because God is trying to get you to shift your eyes off of yourself and get them on him. And you'll have those times when nobody seemed to pay attention to you. Nobody seemed to, you know, give you the time of day. And you know, a lot of people, if somebody doesn't pay attention to them, they quit coming to church. Because more often than not, we're in it for ourselves. Say amen or ow, right? But sometimes, folks, that's the nature that we have to deal a death blow to every day, is that part that wants to rebel against God, that wants to put itself in the spotlight. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will do what? He will lift you up, right? He will exalt the humble, but he will bring down the proud. And God has to do that because there are areas of pride in our lives that we may not even realize exist, but others will see it. How many know what I'm talking about? Most proud people don't realize they're proud. Others see it. An arrogant person usually doesn't realize they're arrogant. They just live out of their fleshly life. That's how they function. And so God has to, I use this expression a lot, but he has to wean us off of ourselves so that we can become a vessel that is user-friendly. We can be a vessel that he can trust with the greater riches of the kingdom, because if we're putting ourselves out into the public, trying to make a name for ourselves, we cannot be the servants of Christ. And we cannot represent him if we are out to represent ourselves. If it's about making a name for ourselves and not making a name for Jesus, we're not in position for God to use us. Now, there are many people that are doing ministry. You know it's God when he's calling you out of a place where you're comfortable to go into a place where you're not. But you'll find that it's in that place that's out on the water where Jesus is at and where his grace will be sufficient for you, because you are not in a place where you can trust yourself to make it or to do it. So God has to wean us off of self-centeredness, self-dependence, so that we become reliant upon him. That is why the wilderness is necessary, and that we need to embrace the wilderness. God led Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where? Into the wilderness, right after his baptism, the glorious time when the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And immediately the Spirit drove him out where? Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Israel had to be removed from everything that they trusted in. Even though they were in bondage, they were slaves, they still had some sense of control of their lives. They at least knew where the food would come from. They knew what their assignment was the next day. Amen. But God had to completely remove them from everything that was familiar to them, that everything they had relied upon, to bring them to a place where they'd never been before. How many here today are right now in a place in your life where you've never been before? You, in fact, maybe even in a place where you never expected to be. And right now, maybe things aren't looking all that good in your life because you're in this place where you would have never chosen to be, but now you find yourself there. How many know that God has to get our attention one way or another? God had to teach Israel to depend on him. They had to learn to hear or listen to his word, to his voice. And they weren't going to do that as long as they were controlled by the devil, by Pharaoh. Amen. As long as they were slaves, everything they did, they were told to do. They were controlled. Their life was controlled. And you know, for some folks, they like to live in a place where everything is predictable and everything is controlled, because it requires no faith to live there, but the just shall live by faith. Faith means I am trusting, I am believing God, that God will do what he said he would do. And I cannot function in faith as long as I'm sitting in the camp, in the place of familiarity, doing what I've always done, because at least I know what the expectation is. I know what to expect here. It's a predictable life. It's a comfort zone. And it can be very boring, yes. How many know what I'm talking about? Every one of us here like being comfortable. Say amen. We like to be comfortable, amen? But you know, there is a greater comfort than the creature comforts of this world. And that is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is the confidence, amen, in Him. But God has to take us sometimes into places where we've never been before so that we will learn reliance upon Him. And when we are relying upon Him, then His grace is released in our lives and expressed out of our lives in that place. Why? Because if we're full of self, that's what people get. Even in ministry, folks, we can be full of ourselves and we can be doing it for ourselves. We can be doing it for the recognition of men. We can be doing it for the praise of men. We can be giving our alms to be seen of men as the Pharisees. Amen. We can be Pharisees where we want people to give us labels and call us teacher, rabbi, apostle, prophet, evangelist, so-and-so, teacher, so-and-so. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? Where we have to have some kind of place of importance in the sight of man. But you see, this ministry we're called to is simply you and I being a vessel that God works through.
Amen.
Amen. So we've got to get over ourselves. We've got to get over the opinions of others, of what they think we should be or do. Because if you live for the opinions of men, you will never do the will of God. Because man will be used of the enemy to shut you down every time. Because you'll get into this fear of man thing, which is a snare. It's a trap. It will stop you from moving forward. We have to conquer the giant of fear. And we do that by faith in God's mighty power.
Amen.
Not in myself. Not, can I do this? No. I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. So we step out as we feel the Lord pressing our spirit and telling us to do something. And even sometimes He's going to tell you to do something you don't want to do. But this is where the battle comes in. I'm either going to tell myself, my flesh, what to do, or I'm going to, amen, and obey God, or I'm going to let my flesh have its way and I'm going to do what I want to do. But whenever I say no to God, I'm actually arrogant in pride. You hear it? It's an arrogant place to be to say no, God. Can the thing formed say to Him who formed it, why have you made me this way? We want to argue with God. We think sometimes God is not reasonable. God, how come? God, that's not fair. Whenever we start to question God, I want you to think about that, folks. Because I've heard some people say, oh, it's fine. Go ahead and question God. You don't have to question God if you trust His heart. You don't have to understand it all. You just got to know who He is. You just need to know that God is good and God is with you. God is for us. He's not against us. Amen. And I trust His heart. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have all the theological answers. All I know is Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe He's with me. He's for me. He has a plan for my life. And God is working in me. He's taking me through a process to wean me off myself, to humble me so that I'll be in position for Him to pour His oil into, amen, and use as a vessel to express Him and not myself. Because when you get me, you're going to get me anyways, amen, with the anointing. But what we want to do is we want to impart Christ, because only He can change hearts and lives.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're wondering what in the world is going on, I find myself in a place where I would have never chosen to put myself. But how many know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord? Are you the righteousness of God in Christ? Are you born of the Spirit of God? Are you born into His family? Are you His son and His daughter? If you are, then the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And therefore, we just have to say, Lord, I believe You. I trust You. I don't understand it, but I know who You are. I know that You're good. I know that You're with me. You're not against me. And God, You're taking me somewhere. And you're helping me to get over myself, because now I'm in a situation where I have to trust God. Israel, oh, they were so happy to come out of bondage, to come out of Egypt. They were rejoicing. They were celebrating horse and rider cast in the sea. And then they find themselves, where are we now? How quickly things changed. Things turned around. And they're saying, well, at least when we were back in Egypt, we had the leeks. You know, we had a few meals. You know, we knew what to expect there. It was a familiar, comfortable place, even though it was bondage. But now we're in a place where, guess what? The things that we once trusted in are no longer available. God will take you sometimes in your life. In fact, He will. To places where the things that you once trusted are no longer available to you. Amen. So that you'll shift away from those creature comforts even, and those predictable things, to God and say, okay, Lord, where are we going? What are we doing? Where do we go from here? And it's in the wilderness that Israel began to hear the voice of God. Amen. Sometimes God has to settle us down, bring us into a remote place, into a place where everything is different, a place of desperation, to where we finally say, okay, time to turn the TV off. Amen. Time to turn it all off. Get the Word of God, open it up, and pray and say, God, show me. Where are we going? What's going on here? Amen. Settle down and get into the place where you start listening to God. So often we are just busy doing. Tell me about it. Busy doing. And God is just saying, start being. That's right. A human doing, not a human being. And God is saying, just start being who you are in me. Sometimes God just says, just be still. Stop striving. Stop stressing. Just settle down and get into rest. Be still and know that I am God. I want to speak to you. And sometimes, you know, God has to take us to a place where we can't run anymore. Or the things that we once trusted in are no longer there, so that we have to trust in Him. Why? Because God wants to give us the greater riches. He wants to lavish His grace. He wants to lavish His kingdom upon us. But He can't as long as we're self-sufficient in the things of this world. That's why giving is such an important thing. Especially if we have, we're even more accountable with what we have. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because giving puts us in a place where we are trusting God and not money. We have to trust God for everything. We are not to put our faith or our trust in uncertain riches, because it could all be gone tomorrow. And God wants to pack our lunch today for tomorrow. He wants to teach us how to hear His voice today, so when tomorrow comes, we will already know what to do. Amen? God has to make us uncomfortable before we can be comfortable. But then this comfort is not what the world offers. It's the comfort of His love. It's a place of quiet rest near the heart of God. It's a place where life is good in Him. How many have discovered that pursuing the things of this world really don't satisfy you? The things of this world don't really satisfy you. Amen? It's like getting the new toy. When I was a kid, you know, how many here look forward to Christmas, right? Man, you were hoping, praying, oh God, please move upon my mom and dad, and I want that new toy, a shiny. You probably went after those fire engines, right? You wanted the fire engine, so. Yeah. But you know, and then we get the new toy, and you're. You know, I don't know, my sister was one of those, you know, pull it apart and, you know, get the tape off. My brother and I were like, you know, go get at it quickly, you know. And then it was the shouts of praise. Wow, check it out, man. And then, you know, a couple days later, it sits in the corner. That's the way it is in this world. And the enemy is slick, and he knows sometimes he'll get us chasing after rainbows. He'll get us chasing after the wind. He'll get us chasing after all this stuff, the temporary things, setting these goals for ourselves. And then when you get them, you're saying, okay, now what? I got what I thought I wanted, and now what? And that's how you get people that even have billions of dollars, and they're still like just wanting to make more money. I'm thinking, what's that going to do for you? You know? It's because they're never satisfied, because they haven't found their satisfaction in the only one that can really satisfy. So sometimes, folks, we need to thank God for the wilderness. We need to thank God for being in places where we never chose to be, but they can have such a wonderful effect in bringing us into position for the glory of God. Amen. For the anointing of God. A king, a priest, a prophet, they had to always get into position, didn't they? They had to humble themselves before they could receive the anointing. And so God will humble us if we don't humble ourselves. You know what? I've discovered it's better just to pray. Amen? To pray even if I don't feel I need to. I need to pray. I need to read my Bible even if I don't feel like it. Amen? I need to stay close to God even when everything is going good. If there's ever a time you need to get close to God, it's when things are going good. You know, the enemy will bait you with that too. Get you back into self-confidence, self-reliance, and then you fall from grace in the sense where you don't have the grace of God richly upon your life. Why? Because you shifted away from trusting in Him back to trusting in yourself. And God wants a vessel that He can use, that He can pour His Spirit into and through in this world. So we need to thank God in all things. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ that concerns us. Because by giving thanks, we're saying, Lord, I'm thankful for this trial. I'm thankful for the wilderness. I know that you're teaching me something in this. You see, I know some of the theology is like, oh, God doesn't want any bad things to happen to you. God wants you to be, this, you know, have an easy road, to have everything wonderful and rosy. And, you know, every time you pray, something happens. He answers it just like you had asked. And that's, no, guess what? No, because God knows sometimes if we get what we want, it's not good for us. God is trying to wean us off of ourselves. Folks, how many have discovered here, and if you haven't yet, you will, that you can't always pray your problems away. You can't pray all your problems away. You can't heal every sickness, every disease. Can God do it? Absolutely. But does He do it? Every time? Sometimes you just got to go through the process. They probably got into the wilderness and said, let us out of here real quick. If you don't, we're going back. They wanted to go back, didn't they? In their minds and their hearts, they were going back to Egypt. Let's go back. I don't like it out here. But God's saying, I have to break you of your past. I have to break you of reliance upon yourself. So you be in a position where you hear my voice. Because where I'm taking you is going to require that you hear my voice. Because there are going to be some giants in the place I'm taking you to be conquered. You want to enter into the promised land? Guess what? There's a battle in the promised land. But there is a victory if we obey His voice. And God will give you territory. God will take you forward from glory to glory, from faith to faith. You will conquer the giants that are in your path. But in order for you to get even to the point of the promised land, you're going to have to endure some things, go through the wilderness, keep a good attitude about it, know that God is with you. He's not against you. He's taking you through something that's going to help you in the end. Somebody say amen. Amen. But do you understand? God says, I'm not delivering you out of all of it, but I'm going to work it all for good. Again, back to Peter. Jesus didn't say, Peter, oh, I'm going to pray that doesn't happen to you. I'm not going to pray that you get shaken. You know, I'm not going to pray that you get sifted as wheat by the devil. Sometimes we just want to rebuke everything away, and sometimes it just doesn't go away. Why? Because it's a process. And that process equips you, prepares you, positions you for God's will and purpose, so that when you finish your life, at the end of your life, at the end of the road, there's going to be great joy. Amen. And knowing that you have overcome,
yeah. Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You have been faithful. You have kept the faith. Amen. Through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus. We've trust in Him. Amen. We learn to trust in God. Through it all, we learn to depend upon His Word. How many remember that one? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. You see, that's where God's taken us. And that is the place where your soul prospers. That is a place of blessedness. Amen. In the place of faith, where I am in full confidence in my God and I've entered into rest. I'm no longer striving and struggling and trying to figure it all out. I've just got into a place where I say, oh, look, I'm letting go, as we say, and letting God now, right? Jesus, take the wheel. Well, you know what? Jesus takes the wheel with you. He didn't take the wheel over completely. He says, here, you take one side, I'll take the other. We'll do this thing together. We're navigating together. We're walking with Him. Is God not for us? God is for us, isn't He? He's with us. So some of you are finding yourself today, and I'm almost through, in the wilderness. You're finding yourself in a place you've never been before, a place that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself. But understand this, that if you have the right attitude and you decide that, you know what, God, I'm going to discover you in this. I'm going to discover what you have to say in this. I'm going to discover your heart in this. I know that God's heart is good, and I know that God is working all things together for the good in my life. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it together. It's all working together for good. Because I love the Lord. Amen. And I'm His chosen. I'm His called out one. You are. Amen. We're His church. We're called out. Separated unto Himself. And so, is it not true that Jesus said, no one is able to snatch you out of my hand. Amen. No devil, no demon, no trouble can take you out of the Father's hand. He's working all these things together for good. He's bringing all the ingredients. You know, you've heard it before, but if you just take a spoonful of, you know, salt or a spoonful of baking soda by itself, it's like, blah, you had that taste before. Who hasn't, right? What does that taste like? Yeah. But if you take that with sugar, salt, baking soda, flour, maybe if you like chocolate, you put it all together, right? Hey, now we're cooking, right? We're baking now. We've got a cake. We've got something that's delicious. That's beautiful. That's what God is doing. So understand that even in the difficult, even in the bitter, and in the sweet, in all things give thanks. Rejoice in Him. God is taking you somewhere. He's promoting you. Amen? Just submit yourself to God. Trust Him. Know that He will take you through. And every giant that stands in your way, you will be able to conquer because you have learned to rely upon the ability that God alone supplies.
Amen.
You have learned how to hear His voice, and it's by the word of the Spirit. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, we will defeat the enemy that comes in our way. Hallelujah. Amen. God, I thank You today for the word. I thank You for the truth that sets us free. I thank You that You're working all things together for the good to them that love the Lord. I thank You, God, for the wilderness, and I thank You for the times of plenty and the times that we are in refreshing and rejoicing. But knowing this, God, that through it all, You're making something beautiful out of our lives, Lord. You've begun a good work and You're faithful to complete it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. How many know that and receive that today?